it in my standard.
So, the question which you're now asking is a case that came to basis like this. Is the Rashba applicable now in this case? Now, how applicable is it? Rachel is newly married and she wants to go out and earn a parnosa to help her husband stay in there. So she decides to go into the shaitel business, shaitel bacha business. So she joins a salon which trains her to be a shaitel bacha, and she builds up her reputation in that salon and her skills. And after 4 or 5 years of being there, she now decides it's time to move on, because she can make a higher and better parnosa if she splits away from the salon and sets up as an individual shaitel bacha. So she informs the salon that she's moving away from them in a month's time, and she's going to be setting up on her own self. Now, the problem was is that she approached her customers that were going to the salon and said to them, you know what, I am leaving. Some customers, she approached them while she was still there, and she said, you know, I'm leaving in a month's time and setting up my own, so you can contact me over there if you want to come to me. And some customers she approached after she already left. The salon found out about this and took her to Basin, who claimed that you're not allowed to steal our customers. You stole our customers. And therefore, you have to pay us the money that you received to the customers, you have to pass them on to us. As if you're still working for us. Has the salon got a claim against her? Is the Rashba applicable in such a case? Or is it even worse than the Rashba, or even better than the Rashba? How do you relate to this case? This is a very common case where people get trained into the work, then they decide to split away and open up on their own, and the question is that can they approach their old customers when they were working for, so to speak, their boss, and now call them to come to them instead? Is that a problem or not? Very quiet tonight.
Big problem.
Doesn't it depend on who brought those customers in? If it was a customer that was given by the business to this person, the relationship is really first between the customer and the business. It's different than if you're working for a place and you bring a customer in.
Okay, so you tell me in this case, she was working in the salon and customers came to the salon and they got designated to her. So for her to then approach those customers, is it a problem or not? Some of them, she said in the last month of work, you know what, I'm splitting up after a month, I'm going to be setting up my own, so you can come to me there if you're interested. And some, after she left, she phoned up and said, you know what, I've set up on my own, and this is my number, you want to come to me, you can come to me. The first lot is okay, and the second lot okay. Right, what's the logic behind that?
First one's okay. First one's more of a problem.
The second lot, she phoned them and said, come to me. Well, the second lot was entitled. The first lot, she just gave information.
And she just said, I'm going on my own.
Yes.
I'm not going to be working here anymore. The person said, oh, I really like the way you do my shit, so let me go. Where are you going? Contact me, you know, that may be a little different than saying, well, I'm leaving, if you want to contact me and come to me.
Okay.
If you just said I'm leaving and the people want to come to her.
The relationship is with the salon, not with her. She's an employee of the salon.
No, you don't know the relationship is with the salon, not with her. Like,
but the people came to the salon, had to have come to the salon initially because it's built up.
Been here for 5 years. At least some people started within those 5 years.
They don't know
they've heard about her. They said, you got to come here and make sure. It's so great.
Yeah.
belong to the salon.
Probably both.
Probably an asset to the salon, but ultimately the customer belongs to the salon. The relationship is with her, not the salon. Whether or not she has any obligations to the salon that they trade with is a different issue. It's not this issue.
Okay.
I was dealing with a certain company because of the salesman. When the salesman left to go to a different place, he didn't say come to know. I changed because I like the salesman.
Okay, we have lots of good swaras and logic going around.
I'll tell you why it should be okay. Because if the owners of the salon were marketed, they would have made it a salon.
That's how a lawyer speaks.
It's an unwritten in the business.
A lawyer speaks like that.
Not unwritten.
You're not a lawyer, but that's how a lawyer speaks. You know what? If it's not a contract, then everything goes.
No, it doesn't have to be a contract.
Obviously, doesn't
but
care.
They would have called them.
You think it's common that people
because
make that
it's right. It's
no, they do care. They took out the base then.
But no, now they care.
Now they care. Without it being made.
In other words,
they realize they're an employee.
Could very well be the
so sometimes you need a tanai in order to restrict them, and sometimes it's a halakha and you can't do it, and they care. Yeah? You can't. They don't say we don't care. We do care because we talk to Basin. Now, have they got a right? Well, sometimes you need contract to have that right. Sometimes you don't. So we're discussing tonight. Do you have that right?
They took me to Basin because they want to prevent it. However, it could very well be that they don't make that tonight because they won't get people to work for them if
the
they.
The question
do.
Is, do you need a tonight? According to the Rashi, you don't need a tonight. Any relationship which they expect to continue, you can't break that relationship up. According to the Rashi.
No, this is irrelevant. This is unrelated to the rational because what's happening here is when they hire her, it's Aldaz that she may take away clients.
Oh, Aldaz to take away clients.
Adarab. Not Aldaz to take away clients. Aldaz knowing that she may take away
clients. Adarab. Aldaz that she can.
What?
Okay. Aldaz that she can.
So, okay, so we're going to start.
Did he say that though?
If they
now,
did, they would use it also.
Aleph base. Of employee the relationship is you do not represent someone else while you're working for that employer. If you're working in for the employer, still as an employee, you do not represent anyone else, and if you do, that's called geneva. Because you're hired to work for me. You're working for me. You're not allowed to represent somebody else at the time you're working for me.
I can't work for two employers at the same time?
Yeah,
moonlight on another job.
And while you're there, you're on their clock.
Oh, you mean it's
not
the one on their clock?
While she's working. She's working for them. It's talking to people.
Oh, so after the day is over, I could tell them that it's
No. So, she's not allowed to say, you know what, I'm leaving and I'm setting up my own and you can come to me, while she's for sure still in the last month.
What is the basis for that? Where would you see that in halakha?
That is what we call understood condition of employee working relationship.
So we are dealing with understood.
Understood. Natural, normal things is that you don't represent something else while you're under my jurisdiction. You're working for me. You don't represent anyone else. That includes you don't represent yourself. So therefore, you can't encourage or implicit or even hint to maybe you should go somewhere else while you're working for your original boss.
It's so common in an industry that that's what they do. I was talking to a lawyer this week. Left a firm, was a partner, and they wouldn't even think of leaving a firm to establish their own business if they hadn't already spoken to their top 10 clients and gotten commitments from them to leave.
That we call
that's like norm.
It's known to do geneva. That's what we saw.
But then there's no implied
it's
tonight.
It's geneva.
But there's no implied tonight. That's what
no. Everyone understands that is wrong.
What? No,
everyone understands that's a wrong thing to do.
What makes it wrong, though?
Makes it wrong is because I am hiring you to represent me and be and you're working for me. And now you're working for me, you're not working for me.
So why is
you're
that
encouraging
wrong?
My clients to go away.
That's not. Why is it wrong, though?
Because that is a condition of work.
Not if everybody understands that it's not like
so. It's not
implied.
You can't tell anybody.
No,
else.
All you can say is I'm leaving.
You can't say the same.
I'm leaving. That's what you can say. I'm leaving.
You brought in the client.
doesn't matter. You brought the clients in for the business you're working for. It's their clients. That's how you set it up. I'm a worker here. This is the boss is over here. I brought the clients into the company. That company has that client.
Yes. If I bring in a client, my boss fully expects me to take them with me if I leave.
Went behind the people's back and he didn't tell them he's leaving and he told everybody he's leaving.
So it means that the next month I'm working for you in the office. I'm not. I'm still working you. No, because I'm still working for you.
I'm still paying you
to be my worker.
There's a mysterious issue here that I have to explain.
Yes.
The way a lawyer or an accountant becomes a partner, this is 95% of the time, is they go to the existing partners and say, if you don't make me a partner, I'm taking all the clients I brought in with me. And that's how he becomes a partner. So all the bosses fully expect that any clients he brought in are going to leave when he leaves.
What's the
name?
Why is it Geneva?
The Geneva, because
why?
The client belongs to the firm.
How did you establish that?
Because I am not the owner of the firm, I'm not a partner of the firm, I'm a worker of the firm,
so why
and I'm working with the firm, so
I'm working with
because I'm telling them, don't come here anymore. That's anti. Yes, sir? Because that's what I'm doing. I'm telling you, don't come here. I'm working for you. You know, come in to the shop. He says, no, don't come into the shop anymore. Next week, don't go to the shop. That is Mercedes. That is Mercedes, my husband. He says, I'm encouraging you not to come in next week.
No, I'm telling you what I'm doing.
No, why are you telling what you're doing? Are you being silly? Why are you telling? Stop stories. Stop stories.
Don't expect to see me.
So you can say I'm leaving. No, you can say I'm leaving and I'm setting up my own. And if you want, you can contact me.
What are you going to do? Mind your own business.
The customer asks the person, oh, you're not going to be here anymore. Oh, I really like you. How can I use you?
So then you have to be vague. You have to be vague and you have to say,
call me in a month.
I don't know what I'm exactly doing at this moment of time. We'll see how things develop.
You can't say I'm going out on my own and that's it.
While you're working, any way of encouraging the clients to leave.
But this whole thing is based on an implied deny. The deny is neither implied. It's explicitly the opposite. When it comes to clients I bring in, it's mamish beferish the opposite.
According to your contract, it's not. So this is your
contract. There's no contract.
Your contract with the firm is not like that.
There's no contract.
So you're working for them. You're working for them. You're not saying, I own the clients which I bring in.
Nobody owns them.
No, I tell you how it permits. And we'll get there how it permits.
She's employed as a shaker backup.
Yes.
She's doing a shaker backup.
Yes.
She's doing her job. She's bringing money.
But
she's not employed as an advertising agent.
No, but she's. But the employer is not allowed. If anti. The whole concept employer is to say, don't come here anymore.
Don't come here anymore.
Go over there instead.
She didn't say that.
That's what did she say? She said, I'm leaving, I'm setting up my own, and if you want, you can come to me afterwards. Don't have to come over here.
That's not what you said. So you can't tell me leaving and say I've
never done business. I'm saying the extreme is I'm leaving, I'm setting my own, you can come to me. That everyone agrees is awesome. So if you're saying I'm leaving, I'm setting my own, you're also encouraging them to leave. Just less of a dog.
It's implied.
Implied encouragement.
The person's already been given the notice. They told the people they're still doing the job they're paid for.
It depends on the agreement.
They're still doing the job they're
now,
paid
for. Now, before we get on... before we get on to the next stage. Of after she's left, can she approach the clients? Before we get on to that, let us discuss, does a non-compete agreement... which is signed, which a lot of companies and sensible companies do, the employees, does that have any basis in halacha to be valid? Does a non-compete agreement halachically binding or not?
No, why not?
So let's see. So the Rambam, the first paramok, and the Rambam says like this. Hadavar she'ein behem mamish, things which are not physical. Ain't had kinyan mo behem. Kinyans don't work. Okay, except for example, shekotze b'shtar. You write a document. I'm making a kinyan, a document that you have to go and buy certain goods. Or we have to divide up a field between us. Oh, we're going to make partnership together. These are called kinyans on things which aren't physical. The emor klum doesn't help at all, even if you write a contract. Because you didn't actually physically mark the transfer something physical. And contracts only work on physical things. So therefore, we see from here a contract to tell you to do things or tell you to restrict from doing things doesn't have any validity in halacha.
Even if it's signed?
Even if it's signed? Because you can't be makna something not physical. I'm telling you, I'm makna to you. What I'm makna to you? You know, I'm makna to you that I'm not going to work and compete against you for the next 5 years in Ramat Beit Shemesh. What does that mean? I haven't marked into you anything.
Why do I need
there's nothing physical here. Therefore, there's no way that this statement can be chal. It's like as good as words.
Why aren't words?
And words are also not valid.
Why? Why, if we have an agreement that we both agree to, why isn't that? Why do I need a kinyan? Why? What does that do that makes it finalized?
So what you're asking? Let's hear what you're asking. It says over here you make a contract to say that I restrict you to do the things. Non-compete agreement, not halakhically valid because it's not physical. Is it like words? Now you're asking what are you asking?
Why isn't agreement alone?
Why isn't words itself not good enough? Why should words be good enough? Why?
Because we both agree.
Agree what?
I gave you consider. We both agreed
I agreed to sell you my house. And you said yes. Is that binding?
You didn't say the term. Well, it
I speak outside. It's 101.8 million.
Right.
A house.
No,
is it binding?
It should be.
But it's not. It's not binding.
The question is why?
Right. I had a situation like that, and I was heard. Rav says, right, it's not binding. Rav says you should keep your word. You say you're going to do it, even though
keeping your word, yes. You have to keep your word unless you got reason not to keep your word because things have changed and it's more profitable. Now I didn't realize that this word I said will put me in a shtuch, and now it's. I realize things have changed and now it's beneficial to change. You're allowed to change the word. That's called Mukus Amona is Mutsa, the trade tira, where things change. Things change, you're allowed to back out of your words.
When the rates change.
To buy your apartment,
tells you a price.
And you say,
fine.
Okay.
And you shake on it.
10 minutes later, somebody else calls and says, you know, I'll give you X amount more. You're allowed to back out of your first one?
The seller, yes. The seller, if he hasn't made any kinyan, if he's offered you the seller, yeah? The problem is why is the second guy coming? Well, talk to that. The second guy may have an issa for coming. That's a different thing. We're talking about the seller. The seller still, he makes a commitment to one guy, and then, but he's still got half an eye on the market, and he keeps an eye out and still advertises, so to speak, and he's willing to hear other things. Then he gets a higher offer. If you're not Sfarzi, then there's a lot of folks going to say you can back out of that. We'll talk about it when we get to the cell. What?
Mishabara.
No, Mishabara is only with money. It's transfers. Klola is only when money has been transferred. Okay, so we're getting off the point now. Now, we're saying words, making a kinyan on something not physical like words, and just as words are not binding, and at worst, you have to keep your word. But if you back out, we can't do anything about it. So also when you have a contract which is on something not physical, like words, and therefore at best, it means that you shouldn't back out because it's not, you shouldn't be, a Jew shouldn't back out his words, but we can't force you. Therefore we're saying basically non-compete agreements are not binding. They don't need to be.
He just said the halacha is all based on the Rashba, so then you're not allowed to be.
I'll tell you, there's certain agreements that go more than the Rashba.
Yeah. No, like after, like just go going out on
I just
own,
can't grab your customers and allow to compete.
What happens if it's not a Rashba case? It's not a relationship case. But still, I'm telling you to non-compete with a non-compete agreement. Yeah? Yes.
When you work for this company, do they work in their own time or kind of work?
No.
They can't. So what we discussed, why didn't this come up? We discussed the guy who made the railings. And the only problem is he's done with the material.
Yes.
It wasn't a problem that he was doing the same work on the side. He only said it's a problem because he stole the goods and charged the wrong price.
Yes, he's got that problem as well. But the case that we're discussing was worse, that case of the gunner over there with the railings. Okay.
That person who's working for a company can't do work in the side.
Unless they agree.
Unless you're not an employer, just a subcontractor. That's what definition means. I work for you. I'm not an employer of yours.
You can't secretly do it without telling your employer.
So the Chassid Sofer says like this. How do we make non-compete agreements? Based on the Chassid Sofer, it's like this. I thought you were getting it, but you missed it.
You're not getting it.
The Chassid Sofer's case was like this. Reuven came along to Shimon, and Shimon was a shochet. And Reuven said, can you train me to be your shochet as well, under you? So Shimon trained Reuven. Now Reuven wants to set up on his own. So he said, Shimon said to Reuven, you can't set up on your own. Don't you remember that the condition of me training you was, I said specifically, is that I'm only going to train you if you're not going to compete with me afterwards and set up on your own. He only said words, he didn't even have a contract. So the question he was asked to the Chassid Sofer, can Shimon stop Reuven now working on his own based on those words which are spoken at the beginning of the training process? So the Chassid Sofer answers.
Well, didn't he say that Chiyus is a kinyan?
Yeah, but kinyan don't work on something not physical. So even if you say Chiyus is a kinyan, but even if you do a kinyan and write a contract, it still doesn't work. So how does that help? So, says the Chassid Sofer, Ka'akas Sabti, to the Benidon Shalafenu, I've already written it. In this specific case, I feel a low nishma, even if there's no shmuras involved. Makom Mokom Chayv Lakayim Tanai, you have to fulfill your condition and you're not allowed to compete. Why? Shamanaf Kei Mosnok Sabtu Dosu, because that was the condition on you receiving your degree. And if you don't, and you do compete, then you are, when the person is competing, is over on a lav, or watch lav, not paying his wages. What does that mean? The Chassid Sofer is saying, if I make a condition, you're not allowed to compete. You have to fulfill that condition. And if you don't, and you go ahead and work, then you're over on a lav of holding back wages. What does that mean?
The guy that trained you is not getting his share anymore. No, when I worked for Shimon, I would have gotten a certain percentage. Shimon would have gotten a certain percentage. So as an if I was paying him, now I'm not paying him.
Okay, sounds good. Anyone can explain it further? Yeah, anyone understand? I make a deal with you. I say, look, I'm going to train you. You're going to come and work for me, I'm going to train you. What do I want in return for training you? I want that you work for me, and also that you should compete with me. If you want me to train you, in exchange, a payment for that training is you have to work for me for this amount, and you can't compete with me. So therefore, if you go break that condition and compete with me, then you're basically not paying for me training you, because the payment for training
I changed my mind.
The payment for training, which you've already received, and now you have to pay, is not in the form of money, it's the form of these conditions. If you fulfill these conditions, that is the payment for the training. And if you don't and you break it, then you're holding back wages that you owe the guy.
So I can change my mind before. before something takes place, but not afterwards?
So what do you say?
I can change my mind before something takes place.
Which means before the conversation.
Like before the guy starts teaching me.
Yes.
But I can't change my mind after he starts teaching me. What's got to do with it to God?
So that was a part of me training you and to give you a license. That's to train you up to be a shochet and eventually be a qualified shochet. And that whole training process and the qualification is an exchange that you work for me for a bit and you don't compete with me.
Makes it sound here more like it's the tangible Yehuda that makes the difference.
It's the training.
You can do that on a permanent basis?
So therefore, the Chassid Sofer's Mechadish are something very important. If you want to make non-compete agreements, then the only way to do it is to be in exchange, so to speak, for the work which he's going to be doing for you, or you're going to be doing for him. I'm giving you the opportunity to work for me. In exchange for the opportunity of working for me, I expect a payment. What's that payment? That you're not going to compete for me for the next 10 years in Ramat Beit Shemesh. If you make it like that, then it's called an exchange for you owe me money, and what's the money for the fact that you're coming to me, you owe me money, and therefore what's the money is that you can't compete for me today. So therefore if you've already started working and then you suddenly, you know, let's work for the next first 2 months, and then you said, okay, let's make a contract at this stage, too late at this stage. Because you're already an employer over here.
Why can't I just say straight that in exchange for your non-compete, I'm paying you money? Why do I have to go with the whole in exchange you're working for me? I'm paying you for the non-compete.
Because money makes kinyonim.
No, once I give you money, you have to not compete.
No.
Why?
Because money just makes kinyonim. Here we say kinyonim don't work.
Kinyonim, the transaction is done.
Those transactions don't work. How is it working here, the non-compete, is that you owe me for a service I provided you. The payment for that service I made a condition ours in the form of non-compete. So it's not a kinyan, it's a condition of payment, the type of payment which I want for what I'm doing for you.
What is the difference between you owe me for a service I provided and you owe me for money I provided?
Because money, you just give back money. You can't.
But you still owe me.
No, so I give you back the money.
I'm not interested in taking it back.
So what? I'm only required to give you back money in such a case.
But if I'm hiring you to do work for me and I give you the money, that's considered a kinyan, isn't it? If I'm hiring you to do work for me.
To do kinyan, but kinyan don't work again. If you keep going on kinyan, and kinyan don't work over here.
You can give back money.
Only works as a tenai of payment.
In the non-competing, it's only with the area of the first shock of the one that was training is working, but if he wants to go 100 miles away, that's not competing.
Depends on the agreement.
If he's making the agreement that don't work with Ramat Beit Shemesh over here for the next 10 years, and that's in exchange for me training you, then you have to compete.
But it doesn't say here, it just says not to compete. That means you can go in the same area. It doesn't mean he can't go somewhere else 100 miles away.
Depends how you speak it out. If you say you're not allowed to open up as a shochet by yourself in the whole world, in exchange for me training you.
No words, it just says not competing.
So we're going to discuss that.
Let's go to the more common scenario.
So therefore, what I want to make sure everyone understands, that it can only work a non-compete agreement if it's done at the same time of employment. But if the contract of non-compete agreement is done at a later stage, it's not going to work. Because all it is you're trying to make kinyonim in that stage, not in exchange.
What if there's more training?
Because employment has already been made. It's done at a later stage. You're trying to do kinyonim. Kinyonim don't work.
But if there's more training involved, there's a special 6-month additional supplemental training program in exchange for that, have a non-compete?
If it wasn't part of the original employment deal, then yes, you can make it at that stage.
Now let's talk about the much more common scenario of non-compete. Usually, it comes when I'm buying a business and I make a non-compete with the other guy. He can't compete with me after I buy his business. So is he held to that thing? I'm not training him at all.
No, that will
it's
also
part
work
of the sale.
Because it's part of payment for the goods which I physically bought.
It's like Kenyan Agave.
Yeah, it's like a touch, a payment on I bought this chair and you want payment for that. Oh, I promise that the payment will be in the form that I'm not going to compete. Yeah. You can make tanoim on non-compete always work. You buy something physical and make a tanai attached to that physical thing. That's how it works.
No, but it's the seller that's... Yes. I'm buying the chair. He's the one that's agreeing not to compete. Mm-hmm. So is he held to that?
Yes, because part of me buying the chair is that I'm only going to buy the chair if it comes with the chair is that also you don't compete.
Right.
So agav, you can fix it on
so
the second
thing. In agav.
Yes?
The agav has nothing to do with competing competition. As long as you attach it to a physical item.
As a condition, yes. So, therefore, a lot of non-complete clauses in our locker fall down because they don't realize it can only be done at the initial stage and not at the later stage. Now, to get further, secular law says to make a non-compete worldwide, unlimited, secular, it doesn't hold up in court. You say, you can never compete with me, wherever you are, for however long you are, secular, the whole thing is useless. You have to have restrictions in time and restrictions in place in order to make secular the non-compete valid. What about in halakha? What about in halakha? In halakha, do we also say you have to make sure that it's within norms and you can't just make outlandish restrictions on the person or not? Yeah, so you're right. In halakha as well, you can't make outlandish restrictions either. The Divrei Chaim, number 3, says, Mokim Loma, Shigon Ha, to Osa Odom Chanut, the Sad Kudot Shachaber, Velo Yoch, Lim Toshbo, Mushum Zakaim, the Karab Huna. We pass, and you can open up shop against another shop. There's a Machlokas in the Gemara, but we say you can open up shop next to your competitor. Right? Two shops, the same next to each other. Yes, welcome, Loma. Kim Rav Huna, Shom the Emes, also lasts the Sat Panut Shokaber. Here's on the Kaiman that in your Olympus, we pass you can't eject, but there is an opinion which says it's also, but we pass you allow to. I'll upon him in the sky, Shalalasis, Kulama, also lasts. If you make a non compete agreement that when he leaves, I'm training you to be in my shop, I am making an agreement that when you leave, you can't open up shop next door, then it does work. Because there is an opinion out there that that's a problem. But if you make an outlandish condition that makes no halachically reason why you shouldn't be able to do it, that you can never beat me, even if it doesn't affect me in the whole world forever, that type of agreement, then why should halachically you could? So making such a condition is not valid and not tofus, even in a non-compete agreement, because we say, a smart thing doesn't make sense, not really in exchange for anything.
Because depending on what type of company it is. If you have a shop, one my colleague, you can't set up another shop in the world.
Yes.
Or you make a little bit.
It has to be.
Take a couple of coconuts.
You say it has to be.
All over the world. So
it has to be. Yeah, so if it's something that affects me, then we say that a condition is valid. Because I have reasons to. Halachically, to have claims against you. But if it's something which doesn't affect me, so. that got called logical effect. So, we therefore have put two restrictions on non compete agreements being halachically valid. They have to be done at the time of employment, and just as secular law dictates, they can't be outlandish, they have to be reasonable. Also, in our locker, it has to be reasonable restrictions and not outlandish ones. All to be valid.
What, so, wait a minute. If we can do a Kenyan agav, why can't I just say. Why can't I just do it like. You enter into, I'm going to give you $100,000 for you not to compete, plus a pencil.
No, because then that's not the, it has to be attached agav the product, not like the
reverse
of way round. That's it, this is the main thing, and what pencil to do, make things work over here. Now let's go back to our case. There is no non-compete clause with her, and She was wrong for approaching those customers while she was still working. What about approaching those customers after she left the place? Is the Rashba applicable? The Rashba says, if there's a relationship built up between Reuven and his customer, Shimon can't come and take away that relationship which, if it's expected to continue. If it's a type of business where the customer usually sticks with the client, the employer. If she can set up shop, fine. But to approach the customers. No. The Rashba has two conditions to be the awesome. It has to be that you're breaking a reasonable expectation of somebody else to keep that client, and it has to be that you approach the client to pull them out of them. But if you don't approach them, you just set up and you advertise and they happen to see you, do you not approaching them? They are seeing information and they decide to come to you, that's fine. But if you approach them and break an expected relationship, that's the problem.
But I don't think the relationship is with the business. People are very particular on certain kind of businesses, haircut,
yes,
or shape or mouth,
yes,
and they'll go to a place, if someone says, you know, oh, you gotta go to this place and go see so-and-so, and they come to this person, now they're building up a relationship, they're only going to this salon because of this particular person.
Very good.
Now, why is it they
very good.
I'm only coming here,
baby.
I'm only coming here because of you. And then the person's going to leave.
Very good. Very good. So we have to clear in our case who has the relationship over here. Is it the salon having the relationship and therefore she is taking away that relationship, which is awesome, or she got the relationship and therefore she's not taking anything or breaking any relationship with someone else or not? That's the question over here.
He gave his vote. I mean, I remember there was a barber that I went to where some people walked in and whichever was available, that's the barber you went to because you liked the establishment. Others did an appointment with a specific, I want Jimmy, I want Franco, I want,
yes,
you know. So for those people, the relationship was with the barber. For the people that just walked in and took anyone was available, it was with the place.
So the answer is, you're right. It depends. Some clients, she will be able to approach because they're the type of clients who says, Rachel, I need Rachel. She's ill? Okay, I'll push her off next week when she's better. I'm not going to take anybody else. It's her which I want. That type of client, they don't have a relationship with the salon. They got a relationship with Rachel. There, she can approach. But
even
only after she's left.
Even though they came in.
Yes.
Because
yes.
He was working,
yeah, because their relationship is not with the salon. Their relationship is Rachel. But some people come to the salon. Okay, Rachel's not here. We go to Sora. They're all around the same. They're all trained in the same type of way. It doesn't really bother me if it's Rachel or Sora. It's the salon which I'm coming for. Those type of clients should be offered to approach because of the Rachel position. So therefore, we have to don each client differently to see whether it's mutter or it's osser. And therefore you can apply this across the board to all industries. Lawyers, industry, and doctors, and vice versa, all types of things to apply this shayla as well. The same conditions apply to all the shaylas of Torah. And therefore, as you're saying, a partner can say, you know what, if you don't give me a partner, a person wants to be a partner in the business of the lawyers, yes? Let's take your example. And he says, you know what, if he goes up to the partner, you don't meet my partner, I'm going to leave and take the clients with me. He's allowed to say that. But
he just can't approach them while he's still working.
He can't approach them while I'm working. And by natural, if he leaves, the reason why they actually give him the partnership is because they know there's about 50 clients there who have a sole relationship with him, and therefore he will be allowed to literally go and phone them up and approach them because their relationship is not with the company, their relationship is only with him, and they only want him, and therefore they are definitely worried about it. Therefore, they will naturally give in to a lot of cases. Yes, we'll make your partner rather than risk the problem of losing 50 clients in that scenario. Yes, but he can't take 100, he can only take those 50, which he has that type of relationship.
Okay.
That's what the lawyer said about the Chasmali.
I'm taking the best thing.
Okay. So, let us start a new topic. The Issa of Sheker, of lying in relationship with Dinei Momonos. You allowed to lie? Now, Aleph base of lying. We're not going to teach you how to lie. We're going to teach you what the problems in lying is. Firstly, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, you haven't got over there, I don't think you have it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Kuf Gimel and the Dalit says, or Chisda says, there's four groups with don't makabel pnei Shechina. Shechina doesn't has any connection with them. And one of those groups are people who lie. So it's not kedai to lie, because you break up your relationship with God today. Another statement, very strong statement in Masechta's Kala about people who lie, is people who lie, a ki'ilu ovid avodah zorah. Like as bad as people who serve avodah zorah. So obviously we want to distance ourselves away from this scenario. So let's finish off with a shayla. Common shot, and that is, I'm on a bus, or, and suddenly I have a karkis, and I've got four punches left. Someone comes up to me and says, can I use your karkis here? Because it's cheaper for me to, I don't want to buy a single, I want to buy, use your karkis here, pay for the karkis here. Often the person doesn't want to give it that katisya or four punches away because it's a pain for him. Because if he now falls down to three and he works out, then he has to buy another one later on. Is this too much? He won't have to get. He doesn't want to give it. Is he allowed to simply say, sorry, I haven't got. Or does he have to tell the truth? I've got, but I don't want to give it to you. Similarly, a neighbor comes round and says, can I borrow a bag of sugar? You know, this neighbor, wherever he borrows, he never returns. But, so, can you say to him, sorry, I haven't got sugar? Well, no, you know you have. Or, do you have to say, got it to you? Look, I've got sugar, but I don't want to give it to you.
Can you say half a sentence? I haven't got sugar without saying for you.
And suddenly somebody wants to borrow money. A friend, a very close friend, but you know, this very close friend is not such a good businessman. And you don't want to let him, because you know that you can't afford not to get that money back. So can you simply say to him, sorry, I haven't got the money to lend you? Or, you have to put it out, look, I've got the money, it's just like, I don't want to lend you. Here we're dealing with Issa Sheker. Obviously, but you have reasons to make a lie.
Shalom bias reasons.
Yes? So, says the Gemara in your vomit, number one. Number, I don't know what number it was for you. You got the Gemara? No, you don't have the Gemara.
Vomit,
no.
No.
Oh, yeah, you got one out.
One out. Okay. I was lying.
Says, the very Rabbi Shua Tana, Godu HaSholem, how great is Sholem? Sha'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinabal. HaKadosh Baruch also changed words in order to make peace, as we see by Sora, Amenu, and Avram Avinu, that Hashem said to Avram Avinu, instead of saying Sora, Amenu, it really says Adonai Zokein, Avram Avinu is too old to have children. And the so called Hashem said to Avram Avinu, Aniza Kanti, that Sora Menu said she's too old. So we see that you're allowed to change your words in order to make Sholem. So here also, if you don't want to avoid, you want to avoid Mas Locus, so you don't want to make problems, so you say, look, I haven't got any Kantis here. Look, I haven't got any money, I haven't got the sugar. You don't want to say to him, I've got sugar, I don't want to give it to you. But he's going to think, well, this guy thinks about it. Could
it
make machlokas? The Gemara didn't say shalom bayis. Godzul ha-shalom. Happened to be shalom bayis in that case. But the Gemara said godzul ha-shalom. So we've got a clear raya. Now you can. The problem is, there's a mogen of Rom. The mogen of Rom says like this. Had the mutzil shanas mipnei ha-shalom, that you're allowed to say not that, that truth because of peace. Heine v'dovish kva ova, that's talking about an old story. There's an old story. And you can say, well, the story didn't happen like this, it happened like that. Below the habar, but not for things for the future events. Where does this come from? Modern form. It comes from the Sefer Hasidim. The Sefer Hasidim and says, what's an example? If somebody comes to ask you, can I borrow money? You can't say I've got no money if you have. Even though if you say I've got but I'm not going to give, it's going to create machlokas. You can't, because the whole heter is only to talk about a past story. Yes, she said that she was old instead of saying you were old. That's a past event. But you want to get money from me and you say, can I have your money? You can't say I've got no money. That's not allowed. That's a future event. That's not allowed.
No,
now,
I'm saying I have no money now. I don't have money now.
I don't know. Present or future events? Yes. Present or future. Now, what's the logic behind that? Why should we ask more, even for Shalom, if it's present or future rather than past? Has anyone got an explanation? Why should it suddenly be... No, you've got no heter.
My backfire, not making it. If you say something's the case, and then after to say it is the case, it'd be worse. It's the truth of the birth
place.
And then you've got a wedding
song. And you've got a life.
Yeah, it's something that will... Next week, tomorrow, they'll see you lend money to someone else. If they don't know.
So you're saying you can be caught out, that's what you're saying.
Or you can be published on our offer.
You're saying one of these fishy ones.
Whenever I'm lying, it's always saying a shalom for somebody, even for me. So it's mamash ain't the result if you're going to do it with habar.
So one of the perushim was like this. There's a few perushim, but one perush which I think is most logical in Ashir, the other perushim also good, but Nogea to Ashir, is that, yes, there's a hetter, there's a machlokus, in order to make peace, you can laugh. There's an event which is creating friction, and to make peace, you can lie. Shalom is docha lying, correct. But if it's not yet a machlokus, but it could come to be a machlokus, then there's no heter to prevent a machlokus in order to lie. The heter is when there's already a problem which you have to fix up. Then it's a...
But by Avraham and Sarah, it was preventing a machlokas.
No, it's already an event taking place. A,
but there was no machlokas.
Which is already a problematic event, which needs explanation. Which could create friction.
That's what you show on this dirty line. But you've got to wait until there's a big problem before you can do it.
Why is it logical? I'm not saying logical in the sense of the layman on the streets. I'm saying long distance. Is it itza love to lie? If you want to mutter that, then you have to have an assay. Don't hurt no sase.
What's the assay?
Assay is to make shalom. To take out, yes?
What assay is
to make shalom.
To make shalom is okay, to keep shalom low.
Keep shalom. Like you say, we haven't yet got a problem. Who said it will be a problem? Who says it will be a problem?
You
have to be vague.
Who says if you stick your finger in electricity, you're going to get electrocuted?
Anyway, Mr. Brewer says on this Sorchin,
what?
On the halacha of the Magen Avraham, but you have to be choshesh. That's supposed to say. Therefore, if you can avoid Kufnum Vav, so if you can avoid saying lie, and you know you can get around with a vague answer, then it's definitely preferable to say your vague answer. Next
what?
Week.
What do you call a lie? You say the existences which weren't lies.
What? What are you saying? Come here.
Take these examples. None of them were lies.
They're all lies. Physically.
Have you got, can you lend me money? No, I haven't got money to lend you. I've got money to lend you. I've got money to lend you.
That's called also lie, just you're saying it in a better way.
What's the name of
that? Oh, so what's the name of what's the
lie? Okay, next week we'll continue Sheker. If you want a case to think about till next week, this is a Shiloh that came to Beis Din. Not a Din Torah, a Shiloh. Somebody walked in to Beis Din and said, I got Shiloh, I don't know what to do.
People just walk into Beis Din?
Yeah, it's in between, they've got Shilohs. This guy was very wise. He said, I think I did something wrong, I don't know what I did wrong, and I don't know how to fix it, but I'll tell you the story. So fine, listen to the story. So he said, well, I was on the bus from Yerushalayim to Tzfat. And I came on one of the last, my whole family, and we were standing. There was no room to sit. He said, I'm going to stand the whole way to Tzfat? This is ridiculous. So I came up with a plan, a master plan. It was just the time of the Mexican flu crisis. So I got on my telephone and pretended to speak to my mother. And I said in a very loud voice, we've just come back from Mexico. We visited, our daughter's doing well in the hospital. But I'm worried about my other daughter to hear, she's coming down with the flu. What happens? The next stop, the last stop of Yerushalayim, 15 people got off. And I went and sat down. But now I'm having a bit of chorus and maybe I did something wrong. I definitely did something. I don't know why I did wrong. And I don't know how to attack him.
It wasn't for Shalom. There's no Shalom benefit here.
So think about it till next
week. That's a real case.
Somebody
came in.
A real cider, not a case.
A real cider.
Yes.
This must be that much shorter. I'm going to the bank for the check.
Time, 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock. The rural receptionist comes to work. Does my daughter have to like give her the hours with the tutoring or at 9 o'clock?
Well, the best she should say is, look, I'm available between 8 and 9.
Okay.
And my price for being available
is 50 shekels out and 100 shekels out.